We got Chuck Farrer. He is the author of SEAL Team Geronimo. It's a very interesting book. If you haven't read it, go out and get it. Let me tell you, it's fun reading. And it's basically the premise is that kind of the way that the mission for bin Laden went down may not be the whole story.
The way it's been portrayed.
Yeah, and so he's on the line to tell us, to set us straight. So, Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us on this Thanksgiving weekend, man.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
So is my premise correct, what I just told the audience? Basically, what we've seen on the military channel and whatnot about how the mission to kill bin Laden went down may not totally be truthful.
Well, and I guess also just to jump into it a little, your book is a refutation of the events that have been portrayed in the media, but is there a single source from whence the information came? So is it an attack on an individual or an entity, organization, government group, anything in particular, or just the hodgepodge bringing together of quote-unquote information?
Well, one of the things that happened, I think, is that in the time since the incident, the mission was accomplished, I think you've got a pretty good example of someone losing control of the narrative. The decision was taken after the raid by the president to announce it. Let's let that decision stand to the side for just a moment. The statement that the president made was true and complete. It did not internally contradict itself. But he was not very well served. In minutes after he'd made the announcement, politicians of every stripe were leaking information from pretty much every orifice. And these little factoids that they put out contradicted each other enormously.
They did.
For example, there was a 45-minute firefight. Well, I am a SEAL Team combat veteran myself. I think you probably got a lot of listeners who have served in the service. If it was a 45-minute firefight, where are the bullet holes?
And
why weren't there more casualties? A second glaring...
Yeah, that's a lot of missed bullets.
That's a lot of bullets. Second thing was, if you've got two helicopters approaching a special operations target, the reason you have two instead of one is so that if anything happens to the first one, the second one can take its place. Now, we were asked to believe that the first helicopter went down on insertion, and then the second helicopter decided to land on the wrong side of a 20-foot concrete wall with a 10-foot steel door in it. It just doesn't make any sense.
They would have had to have had some huge munitions just to get through.
Well, precisely. So I heard these stories like everyone else at first. But when I investigated and talked to people, both officially, unofficially, people up the chain of command all the way down to the men who were on the ground, and the people who were in a position to know, they told me a different story.
How about this? Something that I thought was interesting. I think I had seen it on IMIS. You had mentioned that a kill mission, which is what it was called, at least by somebody, is an unlawful order, and that you are bound to refuse that sort of order.
That's correct. And again, every one of your veteran listeners can tell you that if you are ordered in the United States military to shoot an unarmed person or a person who is not resisting, that's an unlawful order. And in the American military, you are bound not to carry it out. You're bound to refuse that order and report the person who gave it to you. So, you know, in the case of this SEAL mission, look, it was a combat mission. It was launched against a legitimate combat target. But had Mr. bin Laden surrendered, he would have been captured. And most SEAL high-value individual raids, they end with a capture. Now, one of the reasons I decided to write this book is by the time August came around this year, the little factoids of the 45-minute firefight and the helicopter landing in the wrong place and other politically informed leaks, they painted a raid that, as depicted in The New Yorker, that was exactly that. It was guys blowing their way into a building from the bottom up, shooting women and children as they went through the building, and finally, after 45 minutes, murdering a man in his bedroom and shooting his wife. Now, I don't see how the government thought that was a good story to put out in the world. That isn't what happened. And the guys who did this mission and the men and women who supported them, they deserved better than that tale of thuggery and murder.
Well, and then if you try to source the information, you might be able to draw a line to political gain. I mean, some of the people that were given information, or I should ask you, what may have been the motives for the stories that did come out?
Well, I think one of the reasons was, you know, some of these sources were in the highest levels of government, in the National Security Council, counterterrorism czars. These are the people whose statements had to be reeled back in. For example, the 45-minute firefight. After about the middle of May, the administration realized that every time it tried to correct one of these stories or further inform it, they just made themselves look all the worse. And there's another thing that's the elephant that's sitting in the room here, and I think one of the reasons there's been a lot of political pushback against this book is because, you know, they decided within hours of this raid to make it public. There was not a chance to launch any secondary missions based on the hundreds of pounds of intelligence that were taken off the target.
True.
That is an ugly, ugly truth, that the valor of these guys was traded for a bump in the polls. So, you know, it's necessary to push back against the book, unfortunately against me personally sometimes. But again, you know, I will say this. The overhead imagery of the raid shows exactly, for example, when the helicopter crashed. It shows exactly how long the guys were on target. I encourage you to pick up your phone, talk to your congressman, talk to your senator, and ask them to release overhead imagery from the raid. They've already shown you pictures of the compound, so it's not a question of whether these things exist. They do exist. And unfortunately for the guys who are pushing back so hard, look, the truth is a very awkward thing to try to hide.
Well, we're going to actually have our congressman here on the show in not too many more minutes, so maybe that would be a good opportunity.
It is a good opportunity, and I can tell you this. The raid went down with astonishing precision. Two helicopters made it to the target. It happened just as fast as I can tell you, pretty much. One went into a hover at the apex of the triangle, provided sniper cover. Lead helicopter landed successfully on Mr. Bin Laden's roof. Doors came back. SEALs jumped off the roof into a third-floor terrace. Sliding glass doors were opened. They surged down the hallway. Mr. Bin Laden's bodyguard trooping up the stairs. His son, Khalid, shot and killed on the third-floor landing. Hallway door pops open. Mr. Bin Laden sees who's there, comically slams the door. SEALs set up on it, kick it in. Enter his room. He pushes his wife, Amal, at them, just as you heard to begin with. Four shots fired, one misses. One grazes Mrs. Bin Laden in the leg, showing that A, she was pushed at the assaulters, and B, his head was lower than her waist. Next two bullets shot and killed him. Time into the mission, 90 to 120 seconds.
That's amazing.
Now, maybe that sounds a little bit more like a SEAL team operation.
Yeah, that sounds right? A lot more like a SEAL
team. The overhead imagery reveals, and anyone who has seen it will know this is true, 12 to 18 minutes into the operation, the helicopter that was landed on the roof was going to be moved to the ground to re-embark assaulters. They watched it. You saw the faces of the people in the Situation Room. The helicopter lifted off, then departed from controlled flight and slammed into the livestock area next to the main house. That's what they were reacting to. That's what you saw from the Situation Room photo. Now, the overhead imagery shows this completely. The harder they push back, the more it's going to be ugly when the truth comes out. I just think the guys that did this mission and the guys who, the American people, they deserve the truth. They deserve what history really shows.
I got a couple of questions here. Number one is, why the name SEAL Team Geronimo?
Well, it was a target designation. Geronimo was actually just a brevity code within the mission that meant, like tally-ho, it means I've seen the target. It could have been anything else, you know. It might have been Go Big Red, because I used to live in Omaha. So.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Tell everybody that, would you?
I sure
see,
did.
Best interview is on Omaha.
Listen, yeah. The Paris
Smartest
of the Plains.
People. That's right. Paris of the Plains.
The second question is it was reported later, the next day or the day after, that President Obama actually asked who was the trigger person, and they refuse to disclose that to the president. Is that jive with SEAL policy?
Well, that is a true statement of the facts.
Oh.
Look, these guys read the newspaper, and they know that Eric Holder has reopened prosecutions against CIA officers who have briefed terrorists. It's not lost on any member of the SEAL community that this administration last year brought four SEALs to court-martial in San Diego for sit-down for punching a terrorist in the nose.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't think, any politician could expect a SEAL to tell him anything much more than yes, sir, or no, sir.
I think that is
catch my drift.
So cool.
So
that
cool.
is so cool. Okay, in that Obama and his administration have, as you said, lost control of the narrative. Is it incumbent then upon the Obama administration, or has he had a response to your book?
Well, the pushback is generally coming through spokesmen and public affairs officers. They're in the regrettable position of trying to push down on what is the truth. You know what? I look for just maybe more personal attacks. But guys, like I say, ask your congressman, ask your senator, release the overhead imagery. That's how I'm pushing back. Let's just get the truth.
And then this might end up being a little bit leading and kind of a shout out to your team family, your SEAL family. But real quickly, why does this story matter, and why should people buy the book?
Well, the story matters because of the brave sacrifices of these men. They put everything on the line in a very important mission, and the government trying to make points out of this mission did not allow them to act on the intelligence that was gathered at the nexus of Al-Qaeda and put these snakes away forever. So they deserve it, and you've got some brave men and women out there tonight, and they're in harm's way for our benefit, and God bless them.
Well, Mr. Farrer, we really do appreciate you coming on the show. The author, Chuck Farrer, the book, SEAL Target Geronimo, a fascinating read. Thanks again, sir.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks
Good
for your
talking
service.
To you.
Bye-bye.